Well, church, we're going to continue today to study in the book of Luke. And so please allow me to read this passage over you. It says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. And then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress.' And he said to them, 'Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?' And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." The word of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, hello, Woodman. For the last time from me this year anyways, let me say Merry Christmas to you. I hope that your day was a celebration filled with joy and glad tidings. Having said that, I know that things don't always go as we anticipate or planned. But for those of us who are in Christ, our hearts can always be full. I know our hearts are full down here. I'm with our boys at Ark Valley. We've been celebrating together, and I know they want to bring their warmest Christmas greetings to you.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas. We are glad to celebrate with you this weekend. We are going to wrap up our Advent series, The Gifts of Christmas, this weekend. And the last verse in our text is one of the more puzzling, head-scratch-inducing verses, I think, in the Gospel of Luke. Luke 2:52 reads this, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." It's just crazy to think that Jesus had to grow up. Jesus was born fully God, but in his humanity, he still had to grow up. And though we would love to know just exactly how that played out, the comforting takeaway, I think, should be that if Jesus had to grow in wisdom, stature, and favor with God, we shouldn't be so hard on ourselves when we got some growing up to do. Amen?
Amen.
All of us, every single one of us, still has some growing to do in our relationship with Christ. Recognizing if you are younger in your faith, it may seem more overwhelming, but none of us will ever arrive at the place we want to end until we look face to face upon Christ. What we can sometimes forget is that for Mary and Joseph, Jesus' parents, everything was new for them too. Like many of us, they were learning things in real time. And this weekend, we want to learn from their experience and see how it can inform our own. And for some, this will serve mainly just as a good reminder of some things you already know. For others who are maybe newer to the faith, I think there's some stuff in here that's going to help you chart a course for the new year ahead. So if you would, allow me to pray. Heavenly Father, it is so sweet to be here with our boys at Ark Valley. Father, I thank you for our church, and I thank you for this time of year that we've had to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, would you meet with us now? Unpack your word to our hearts and help me not to mess up. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I maybe should have said this, but if we've not met yet, my name's Josh, and I serve as one of the pastors here at Woodman. And if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 2, we're going to begin at verse 21. And as you consider the new year ahead, it may be daunting. You may be a little anxious, but here's just a great place to begin. Start with what you know. Just start with what you know. Look at verse 21. It says, "And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, 'Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord,' and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now, for any of us who have ever brought home a newborn, you know there's a lot to think about, right? There's hospital bills that need to be paid, diapers that need to be purchased. There's car seats, cribs, onesies, and bottles. All need to be on hand. But it would be a mistake for us to think that having a baby was simpler 2,000 plus years ago, especially if you were an Israelite. According to Old Testament law, having a firstborn son meant that there were a lot of boxes that needed to be checked. You had the circumcision thing, you had naming, you had purification, you had presentation and consecration, and many of those things required that you make a literal physical sacrifice. And it took some time to get all those things done. You didn't do them all at once. But what Luke does here is he compresses it all into like a short statement. And why does Luke do that? Because Luke's not interested in teaching you and I about Old Testament, like having kids stuff. He's trying to remind us that Mary and Joseph were faithful to do all the things the Old Testament asked them to do. Mary and Joseph were faithful Jewish parents who did everything by the book. He wanted to demonstrate Mary and Joseph were faithful. Much like after the resurrection of Jesus, before the Holy Spirit came, do you remember what the disciples did? They just gathered in the room and they thought, well, let's start praying. We prayed with Jesus. Let's just go back to what we know. That's exactly what Mary and Joseph do. They have undoubtedly a lot of questions. But in the absence of answers, they just did what they knew to do. And in this case, they had had a baby, and they had some boxes that needed to be checked. When we're not exactly sure what we're supposed to do, it never hurts to just start with what you know. And unless you came to faith like 5 minutes ago, which if you did, that's awesome, I want to talk to you, but unless you came to faith 5 minutes ago, you're probably aware already that there are some basic building blocks, right? There are some things that are foundational to our faith. Things like getting in His Word, getting with His people, engaging in prayer. Regardless of how long you have been a follower with Jesus, those are things that we all need to keep in our life. We need to be in His Word. We need to be with His people. We need to be engaging in prayer. And with the new year, like right around the corner, I think this is a good time to kind of pause, reflect, and take stock. You know, how am I doing with those things? Do you need to specifically focus on one of them? Maybe you've never done it before, but maybe this is the year you start a reading plan, like systematically read through God's Word. You know, maybe this is the year that you make a commitment to not blow off gathering in church, but you say, I'm going to be here this year. Maybe like we keep other appointments, maybe you set up some time to engage with God in prayer. That you put into place some of these foundational things that matter so much. Mary and Joseph are a really good example for us in that they act on what God had already revealed to them. And as they move forward, it's our second point, they take note of what they hear. They're going to be learners. And this little section here, this is going to be like an extended section. And in it, Luke's going to record the testimony of three witnesses. Three individuals. We're going to have a guy named Simeon. There's an older gal named Anna. And for the first time in the Gospel of Luke, we're going to hear from Jesus himself. Simeon is going to speak these strong prophetic words. Anna is going to speak praise and proclamation. And Jesus is going to speak of his identity and his purpose. And Mary, she's going to treasure all of it. These encounters are going to fuel her over the years to come. And I think give you and I something to think about in the year ahead. Simeon's message is we need to prepare our hearts. You need to prepare your heart. We read, verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. There is a ton packed into that little section. I remember preaching entire messages on that little part. But this weekend, we're just going to hit some highlights, okay? First, Simeon. Simeon was a special guy. Luke tells us he was righteous and devout and waiting for the consolation of Israel. That is, he was looking forward to the long-awaited comfort that God had promised his people. But what was even more special is that the Holy Spirit was upon him, and Simeon's patient faith was to be rewarded. The Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Christ. So as Mary and Joseph are checking off all those Old Testament law boxes, Simeon sees Jesus and he takes him in his arms and he blessed God and he broke into song. And it began with gratitude, right? He's like, Lord, you did it. You did it just like you said. I've seen him, and now I can die in peace. Anytime's good now. I'm ready. I saw him. You rock. But what else does he say? What is it that Simeon says he specifically saw? It doesn't say that he saw the baby. Simeon says, I saw salvation. I saw salvation, and salvation not just for the Israelites. Simeon, Jew that he was, says this salvation is for all people, Gentiles included. Right from the beginning, we all were part of the plan. And really, Simeon essentially echoes the words of the angel, right? Jesus is good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto us born that first Christmas day was a Savior, Christ the Lord. Simeon didn't hear the angel say it, but Simeon knew who he was looking at. The question is Jesus your Savior? Is Jesus your salvation? When you look at Christ, what is it you see? Just some other baby? Or do you see the Savior of your life? That is the message of the gospel. We call it good news in that we were all dead in our sin. But Jesus left the glory of heaven. He did not consider his equality with God something to be grasped, but he humbled himself, putting on flesh, becoming like us. He was a servant, even to the point of death. And he did that for you, gentlemen. He did that for all of us. That's why we call it good news. The sobering thing, though, is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is not always regarded as such by everyone. That's why Simeon tells us to prepare our hearts, because things can get rough. Verse 34 says, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. We're not entirely sure why it is that Simeon addressed these words to Mary specifically. It perhaps is because we know Joseph died at some point between this day and when Jesus began his ministry. So maybe Joseph just practically wasn't going to be around. Or maybe Simeon, knowing a mother's heart, wanted to gear her up, get her ready for what she was going to have to walk through. As much as Jesus is good news of great joy for all people, not all people recognize him as such. For some, The arrival of Jesus will bring their judgment. The arrival of Jesus brings their fall. For others, his arrival will lift them up. His arrival is their salvation. As we've seen this fall, right, as we've been working our way through the Gospel of Luke, we've seen how Jesus' ministry often brought him into conflict with the religious elite of his day. Jesus was very much opposed at many a turn. He revealed the thoughts of many hearts. And not everything Jesus brought into the light, not everything was particularly flattering. And Mary, Jesus' mother, was no exception. It must have been extraordinarily sobering for Mary to hear. But the life of her firstborn son was going to feel at times like a sword piercing her own soul. These are the prophetic words that Simeon speaks into Mary's life. And I think when we read that on this side of the cross, naturally, I think our minds go to the crucifixion. Few of us, I think, can relate to the pain that Mary, the mother of Jesus, would have endured as she saw her firstborn son hanging upon the cross. But it would be a mistake to think Mary's soul didn't have to walk through hard times before that first Good Friday. If you look through the Gospels, at times, Jesus would appear to be unconcerned with his own mama. At times, Mary did not quite get on board with the implications of Jesus' choices and the ministry he was embarking on. And it was hard to be Jesus' mother. And all of us need to prepare our own hearts for the challenge a relationship with Jesus brings. And I don't want to be depressing on the eve of a new year, but for some of us, 2026 might be the hardest year we've ever walked through. And a life with Christ does not always make everything awesome. People can oppose us for our faith. Our loved ones can still make decisions that hurt us, and our prayers are not always answered the way that we want them to be. Do you need to prepare your heart for the potential heartache that could be around the corner because you're following after Christ? One can only wonder how many times it was that Mary reflected on Simeon's words. And you and I would do ourselves a favor to spend some time reflecting on them too. One thing that helps, paradoxically, is gratitude. And that's what Anna reminds us of. She calls us to respond in praise. Verse 36. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Just like Simeon, Anna was a special lady in her own right. She was a prophetess. And she was a prophetess at a time when prophets were very rare in Israel. And being a woman made it even more unique. And she was incredibly devout, having been widowed probably around the age of 21. She had spent the last 63 years of her life at the temple, worshiping with prayer and fasting night and day. And though Luke does not record her words, when she sees Jesus, she erupts into praise, giving thanks to God and speaking to all who, like her, were waiting for the redemption of Israel. I'm telling you, in their culture, to have lost a husband so young and to have no children to show for it would have been considered especially devastating. Standard operating procedure would have been for Anna to go out and get remarried as quickly as she could. But Anna did not let her circumstances derail her faith. Quite the opposite, she threw herself into it for 63 years. And seeing Jesus made it all worth it. The person and work of Jesus does not automatically make all of life sweet. But knowing the person and work of Jesus should put everything in life into perspective. I was dead in my sin. I was dead in my sin, but Jesus died for me. He gave me new life, and now I have a future hope. That changes everything. And it's cause to praise. You know, in several ways, some of you guys remind me of Anna. And I'm not saying you look like an 84-year-old woman, but some of you guys have been here for a while. Now, unlike her, you did something to get you into this place. But like her, you are devout and you are an encouragement. To see you praising God, to see you sharing of Him to anyone here who would listen, you're doing the same thing this lady did. And there are people on the outside who would pay money to get the kind of joy that some of you have. And I wonder how many of us on the outside need to take a page from the Ark Valley playbook and put things into perspective. And though we might not be in the position we want to be in, because we know the personal work of Jesus Christ, we always got something to sing about. Maybe we just sing louder, right? Maybe that's how we respond in this new calendar year. The third witness is Jesus. And his message is to join us on mission. Look at verse 39. And when they'd performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But they began to search for him among the relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. Now, I am sure that all of us here have done some things we're embarrassed about, right? But none of us ever lost the Son of God that was entrusted to us for his safety, right? Mary and Joseph, they lose Jesus. And in their defense, we're going to meet him one day. In their defense, it's not as bad as it looked, because first, the positive again, right? Mary and Joseph were going to Jerusalem for the Passover. And Old Testament law only required Joseph to go. But for them, they made it a family affair. And they were ardent in that they made it their custom and they went every single year. And actually, this is just what we saw them doing before, right? This was their custom. They followed the law. And we can't imagine like the family road trip where, you know, maybe like, you know, little Jimmy just was in the play place at McDonald's and we walked to the car and forgot about him. This would have been like a giant caravan of people. And they did that for safety, right? Men are talking over here, women are maybe over there chatting, some girls are up front. And the kids, they're torquing around having fun on the journey. And so Mary probably thought he was with Joseph. Joseph thought he was with some other of his dudes. And it was only until night that they realized, you got Jesus? I don't got Jesus. You got Jesus? I don't have Jesus. Where's Jesus? We lost the Son of God. And they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Verse 46 says, after three days they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers and listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. It had to have been incredibly stressful. I mean, for any parent, let alone when your son's a child of God. 3 days. The first day is the day we're traveling. That night they realize Jesus is gone. The second day is the day it takes them to get back. And the third day is how long it takes to find him. And like most parents in the situation, when you don't know where the child is, you're super stressed about it. But then when you finally find him, you kind of want to smack him upside the head. Fear gives way to frustration. And Mary asks Jesus why he would behave so badly. And his response, it goes over their head. He says, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I'd be in my father's house?" And to be sure, Jesus is not being like the edgy preteen here. He's not like, "Why were you looking for me?" No, Jesus is being the 12-year-old who doesn't quite understand life yet. Like, he really doesn't get what the problem is. He's like, why were you guys looking for me? Didn't you know I'd be in my father's house? From a young age, Jesus knew who his father was. And Joseph was his adopted dad, and he loved him. But his father was in heaven. And Jesus wanted to be in his father's home, sitting and listening to the teachers, learning, asking questions, and understanding more about his dad. Even at the age of 12, knowing who he belonged to shaped the decisions that Jesus made. And it is kind of cute. Jesus wasn't in the temple teaching. Jesus at 12, he was there, "I want to learn." Now, he asked really good questions. He had some really cool insights. But already at 12, knowing who his father was shaped the decisions that he made. And I wonder, is your relationship with Jesus shaping yours? Is because you know who Jesus is he shaping the decisions you're making? Maybe like him this year, you want to learn more. You know, maybe you join a community group. Maybe you get in a Woodman U class. Maybe you purpose to understand better the book that so many of you have on your lap right now. Maybe there's some parts of it that you find daunting and you don't understand and you read faster, you skip over them. Maybe this is the year that you're like, "No, I'm going to understand this." And maybe this is the year that you start to participate. to roll up your sleeves, that you're going to get involved. Maybe this is the year you allow him to help make some of the financial decisions you make, right? You still got some days, year-end gift. Like, maybe this is the year. Maybe this is the year, like Anna, you begin to tell other people about him. Maybe this is the year, like Simeon, you share where your salvation is found. Is this the year that you join Jesus on mission? There's no pressure. But this time of year, with the New Year days ahead, it's a good time to think about it. And here's the sweet thing. You don't need to rush. It's our final point. Give yourself some time. Verse 51 says, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." Just like I said at the start, even Jesus had to grow up. Faithful growth takes time. For kids, for adults, for disciples. But you need to be thinking about it. Growth won't just happen, right? Mary treasured these things up in her heart. Do you need to spend some time pondering the things that we're learning? Because I'll tell you, you could have a great kingdom impact in the new year ahead. But you got to start somewhere. If you stop and think about it, clearly God orchestrated the events in the temple that day, did he not? But isn't it wild that God didn't choose big names to get it done? It wasn't a priest or some high-ranking member of the Sanhedrin that God had put his spirit upon. It wasn't a wealthy business owner or some social media star. God chose a righteous and devout guy named Simeon. A guy who, if you and I had known back in the day, and he told us, you know what, before I die, I'm seeing the Messiah, we would have thought he was cracked. But you know what? Simeon saw him. He did. And Anna, he chose Anna, an 84-year-old widow. Imagine going to Anna's 30-year high school reunion. Huh? And you're like sitting around hanging with your guys. Hey, whatever happened to that girl, Anna? She married that guy, Pape? What was that guy's name? And your buddy's like, dude, he died. What happened? She became super religious. If we were at Anna's 30-year anniversary, she would still be worshiping in that temple every day for another 15 years before she saw Jesus. But you know what? She did. She saw him. And in both cases, Simeon and Anna, we never read of them again in Scripture. But I suspect Mary and Joseph never forgot them. You might not be the world's first choice. But when righteous, devout, and faithful people make themselves available to God, he can use those people to give others something to think about. And my prayer for you, gents, is that you give every man in this place something to ponder, something for them to treasure when the lights go out. And I pray for us on the outside that we do the same. If you would, allow me to pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and the participation you invite us to in your work. For the men here, and for all of our others on the outside, May 2026 be a year where we join you on mission and you use us to point people to Jesus. Would we love well, change lives through Christ? It's all for your glory. Amen.
Amen.